From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection. We are bringing the Capitol to you today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln. And wow, what a huge week for freedom, for liberty, and for the United States Constitution. Major news coming out of the Supreme Court. We've got decisions in the NIFLA case involving pro-life pregnancy centers in California who are being forced to advertise for abortion, plus another favorable order from the High Court for Baronell Stutzman, the Christian florist in Washington. And to top it all off, we now have the news that Justice Kennedy is officially retiring and President Trump will get to make his second appointment to the United States Supreme Court. And when there's this much major news from the United States Supreme Court, the people you really want to be talking to are at Alliance Defending Freedom, the top Christian legal organization in the country, because they're right at the center of this. So I'm thrilled to have Jim Campbell, senior counsel with Alliance Defending Freedom, joining me on the show here momentarily. And this is so important. We're talking about religious freedom, our most cherished freedom. It's why it's one of the main issues that we work on at Nebraska Family Alliance. And I would encourage everyone to visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org and join the movement to help advance family freedom and life in Nebraska and make sure that religious freedom isn't only affirmed, but celebrated. And as we are quickly approaching the 4th of July, it seems appropriate that there is a lot to celebrate this week in regard to religious freedom and the constitutional liberties we enjoy here in the United States. Several high-profile Supreme Court cases have been handed down recently that all centered on First Amendment rights of free speech and religious freedom. First, it was the Christian cake baker in Colorado in the Masterpiece Cake Shop case, and now the Supreme Court has handed down an order in favor of Christian florist Baronell Stutzman, and the Supreme Court also released their decision protecting the rights of faith-based pro-life pregnancy centers not to be forced to advertise for abortion in the NIFLA v. Becerra case. In the midst of this now, if that weren't enough, Justice Anthony Kennedy has officially announced his retirement, and President Donald Trump will get to make another appointment to the highest court in the land. And our good friends and allies at Alliance Defending Freedom, who I can really only describe as a true national treasure, they are responsible for handling and litigating these cases. And I am pleased to be joined now by Jim Campbell, who is senior counsel with Alliance Defending Freedom and director of ADF's Center for Cultural Engagement and Scholarship. Jim, thanks for joining us today and congratulations on what was an incredibly successful and exciting week.
Thanks so much.
Jim, first, I just have to ask you, what was your reaction to the news that Justice Kennedy will be retiring from the Supreme Court, and what does this mean, especially for those of us who are concerned or interested in preserving religious freedom and the rule of law?
Yeah, well, I guess the first thought I had was, you know, Justice Kennedy has been really the focal point of most Supreme Court advocacy for the past 10 years or more, and so I thought, wow, the very individual that for so long we've been arguing to in trying to persuade regarding our views of the Constitution, you know, that person is now going to be leaving the court. And then I reflected a little bit upon his legacy, and I thought, first, to the good part of his legacy, Justice Kennedy was one of the best defenders of First Amendment rights, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. He almost always came down on the side of liberty in those cases. And then I also thought through some of the other cases where Justice Kennedy interpreted rights into the Constitution that simply had no historical grounding or no basis in the original understanding of the text, cases dealing with abortion and same-sex marriage and things like that. So ultimately, you know, Justice Kennedy's jurisprudence was a mixed bag for people who care about the issues of, you know, life and liberty and religious freedom and marriage and family. But at the end of the day, his presence will be missed because his influence on the court has been significant.
So now President Trump will get to nominate his second justice to the Supreme Court. I mean, just how do you anticipate this nomination and confirmation process going now that President Trump gets his second nominee that could shift the balance of the court on a lot of these contentious issues?
Well, we'll really have to wait and see. So the president has put out a list. It's the same list that he put out the first time around of the potential nominees that he will be looking at. So eventually, in due course, the president will release the name of whoever it is he decides to go with. And then at that point, we'll have to see if the Senate is able to confirm that person quickly. One thing that's interesting is Justice Kennedy has indicated that his retirement will be effective at the end of July. So that puts significant pressure on the president and the Senate to get something done quickly.
This is definitely something for everyone to keep an eye on, and the implications and ramifications of who that nominee is so far reaching. But I mentioned those three cases at the beginning of this show involving Jack Phillips and Masterpiece and Baronelle Stutzman, the florist from Washington, and now NIFLA involving the pro-life pregnancy centers in California. And we got good news in all of those cases recently. So Jim, before we get into some of the specifics, just from the 30,000-foot view, how significant are the developments in these cases for protecting and preserving our most cherished freedoms?
Very significant. The Supreme Court was very strong on First Amendment freedoms this term. It issued the decision in Masterpiece that made it very clear that the government cannot be hostile towards, and that indeed it must show respect for the belief that marriage is the union of a man and a woman, that people who hold that belief, whether they're Christians or Muslims or Jews, that they can't be driven out of the marketplace, that they can't be subject to government hostility simply because they want to live consistent with that belief. And then the Supreme Court just last week, I should say, in the NIFLA decision involving the California pro-life pregnancy centers, made it very clear that the government has no place telling people what messages to communicate, what ideas to support, and what actions to promote.
And Jim, I know that you were actually directly involved with the Masterpiece Cake Shop case involving the Christian baker, Jack Phillips, who was sued for declining to make a cake celebrating a same-sex wedding. And the Supreme Court ruled 7-2 in Jack's favor. And much has been said about the ruling and whether it's narrow or not and what it actually means. So I wanted to be sure to ask you what your take is on the Supreme Court's decision in Masterpiece and how strong of a ruling you think it is.
It really is a significant ruling. One of the things that we've seen that has developed around the country in the last few years is this idea that the belief that marriage is the union of a man and a woman, that is somehow a view that has to be hidden away or ignored, and that it has no place in public life, that people have to hide that belief, or that they have to withdraw from public life if they have that belief. And the Supreme Court made it pretty clear that they don't view that belief that way. They made it pretty clear that the government must respect and must show tolerance towards people who hold that view. So this ruling is something that really undercuts much of what folks have been saying about people like Jack Phillips, who are simply trying to live and work consistent with their belief that marriage is the union of a man and a woman.
It was encouraging to see such strong language really showing that any sort of government hostility towards religious beliefs is unlawful. And now it's already impacting other cases, such as Baronelle Stutzman, the Christian florist in Washington, who has a similar case. And now this past week, the Supreme Court granted cert in her case, vacated the lower court's decision, and remanded the case. Can you explain what exactly that means and how the Masterpiece ruling impacted Baronelle's case?
Sure. So Baronelle's case involves a very interesting set of circumstances. So Baronelle had a customer named Rob who she'd served for nearly 10 years. She knew Rob was in a same-sex relationship, but that never mattered to her. She serves everyone. Over the years, they became friends. She'd created dozens of arrangements for him. But one day when he came in, he wanted her to help create the flowers to celebrate his same-sex marriage. That was one thing she couldn't do because of her religious beliefs about marriage. So she declined. She very much expressed her appreciation for him as a person, but said that just due to her religious beliefs, this was not something she was going to be able to do. So she thought that it was going to end there. The two of them hugged. She gave him the name of other floral artists that could help him. And unfortunately, the Attorney General of the state of Washington found out about what Baronel had done, and he filed a lawsuit against her. And so now for 5 years, she has been dealing with that lawsuit. And the most recent action before the one that you just referenced by the U.S. Supreme Court was a decision by the Washington Supreme Court that was going against Baronel. And so what the U.S. Supreme Court did last week was they wiped away that Washington Supreme Court decision that was against Baronel, and they sent the case back down to the Washington court system and told them to reconsider the case in light of what they said in Jack Phillips's case.
And so what happens next in this case and for Baronel? The Washington Attorney General has seemed defiant and really wanting to go after Baronel. And so now, in light of what the court has said, what do you anticipate what will happen next? Will there be any type of settlement, or are you confident that the lower court will now do the right thing based on what the Supreme Court has said?
We're certainly hopeful that the lower courts will do the right thing, but that remains to be seen. We're going to have to go back to the Washington state courts. We're going to have to argue the case again in light of Masterpiece Cake Shop, and hopefully we'll be able to persuade the justices there, the justices of the Washington Supreme Court, that they should in fact uphold Baronel's freedom to live and work consistent with her religious beliefs. But we'll have to wait and see if that's the ultimate outcome we get.
It seems like it's a never-ending struggle, but we were so glad to see some of those positive outcomes coming from the Supreme Court. And the most recent that you've also mentioned was the NIFLA case, which centered on a California law requiring pro-life pregnancy centers to advertise for abortion. What did the court say in this opinion, and how significant is this ruling in the NIFLA decision?
Essentially, what the Supreme Court said is that the government has no business telling individuals what they must say. That's specifically true when the government tells someone what they must say about a deeply moral issue like abortion. And so in the state of California, they enacted a law that required pro-life pregnancy centers who, again, their very purpose is to encourage pregnant women to choose life for their children. It came in and specifically told those organizations that they had to put up information where directing women where they could access free or low-cost abortion. But that's directly antithetical to what they exist to do. And so at the end of the day, the Supreme Court looked at it and said, there is no way that the government has a legitimate place telling organizations what they must say. And they indicated that that law was infringing upon First Amendment freedoms.
And in this ruling, it was 5-4 in favor of NIFLA, the pro-life pregnancy centers, who Alliance Defending Freedom was represented. And I have to ask you, because it was incredibly surprising to me and also very concerning that there were four solid dissents in this opinion. The way I looked at it, if your goal was to set out and write a law that is unconstitutional, you would write this California law, the California FACT Act. So how concerning is it to you that a one vote margin essentially saved pro-life pregnancy centers and free speech in the United States?
It actually makes me think of what Justice Kennedy said in his concurrence in the very case you just referenced. So Justice Kennedy agreed with the majority opinion and said that the California law was infringing upon First Amendment freedoms. But one thing he said in his concurrence, because he had a few other points that he wanted to add, is that one of the things that's important for all of us to do, but specifically for people in the judiciary to do, is to continue to educate everyone, the public, friends, family, about the importance of freedom of speech, because sometimes we can forget what that means. The freedom of speech protects our freedom of thought, our freedom of belief. If we can be forced to say things that we don't agree with, that infringes not just on our speech rights, but on our freedom of thought and freedom of religion. So Justice Kennedy in his concurrence, that's one of the things he said. And I think that that's a reminder how close you can get to losing these important freedoms if we're all not committed to spreading the truth about the importance of them. And so you can even look at the Supreme Court and see that there are four justices that didn't see the importance of ensuring that pro-life groups aren't forced to point the way to abortion. And so that should be a reminder to all of us how important it is to continue to champion the importance of these freedoms that the First Amendment gives us.
We truly can never take that for granted. And Jim, so what happens next now in this case? So with Jack Phillips and Masterpiece, he, you know, his is a done deal, and he can go back to making wedding cakes. And you mentioned Baronell and Arlene's Flowers is going to go back to the lower courts in Washington, but now hopefully with a favorable outcome based on what the Supreme Court has said. And NIFLA, they struck down what they did in California, but also remanded it back down as well. So is there some procedural things that happen next, or what will take place now?
Sure. So the precise procedure that was involved in the case involves something called a preliminary injunction. And so all that means is that it was an early part of the case. It was the case hadn't fully developed at that point. And so when the Supreme Court looked at it, they said, given what we've seen at this early stage of the case, we think that it looks like this law is unconstitutional. And so now they sent it back down to the trial court. And so what the trial court will need to do is to look at that opinion, and then now it will put in place an order that essentially keeps the state of California from enforcing it. So the Supreme Court's decision was very strong, and it does not leave any leeway for the lower court to ignore it. I think at the end of the day, the end of that California law is in sight, but there are a few steps that we'll need to take in order to make sure that that happens.
Well, that's encouraging to hear, and that was sort of my next question. Although the decision in this case was 5-4 in favor of protecting the free speech rights of pro-life pregnancy centers, it appeared that this opinion contained some really strong language that makes a really solid ruling. So is this something that will have a broader impact moving forward than just this case and even beyond pro-life pregnancy centers?
We certainly expect that it will, because what the Supreme Court affirmed was a very basic truth that spreads far beyond just the issue of pro-life pregnancy centers or abortion-related speech. Is this principle that the government can't force people to say things that they don't believe or that they don't agree with. And that principle has ramifications not just in that context, but also even in Baronell's case, for instance, going forward. One of the arguments that we make there is that Baronell is a floral artist, and you can't force her to create her art to celebrate a view of marriage that conflicts with her faith. Well, the decision in NIFLA makes very clear that the government can't force people to express things and celebrate things and point the way to promoting things that they disagree with. So we do believe that the NIFLA decision is going to have a far-reaching impact that will benefit the First Amendment rights of everyone throughout the country.
Masterpiece Cake Shop, Arlene's Flowers with Baronell, and NIFLA, these have sort of been the major high-profile cases that ADF has been handling that has caught the attention of folks all around the country. But I know there are also other cases and stories out there that ADF is working on. And I know you'll continue to be involved with some of these as they get worked out in the lower courts. But Jim, what do you anticipate sort of being the next blockbuster case here that people need to be aware of and keeping their eye on?
There are a lot of cases like Baronell's and Jack's that are still being litigated through the court system. And so we represent a painter and a calligrapher in the state of Arizona who are facing similar issues. We represent a printer in the state of Kentucky who is being has his governments trying to force him to print messages that conflict with his religious beliefs. We also represent a graphic designer in Colorado and a filmmaker in Minnesota, all of whom are facing a law where the government's coming in and saying that you have to create messages and celebrate things and ideas that conflict with your religious beliefs. So I think those cases are all significant. And like I said, there's a batch of them. There's at least five or six. And so ultimately, it remains to be seen how the courts will work those out. But we remain hopeful that all of those clients will be free to live and work consistent with their beliefs.
Jim, my last question for you while I have you, we're preparing to celebrate our Independence Day this week. And as someone who has really dedicated their personal and professional life to defending our First Amendment freedoms and working through the courts to make sure that our laws are upholding and protecting our most cherished freedoms, what does freedom mean to you, and why have you chosen to dedicate yourself to this cause?
Now that is a good question. I think what freedom means to me is the ability to live out one's conscience and to search for truth, and then when you find it, the freedom to live consistent with it. And so thankfully, I've been put in a position where I do get to devote my professional life to doing that. It is a great pleasure and a great privilege. Alliance Defending Freedom is an organization that is committed to issues involving freedom of speech and religious liberty and life and family. And it's a great organization that's committed to doing this work ultimately so that all of our freedoms will be upheld.
I couldn't agree more. Jim Campbell, Senior Counsel with Alliance Defending Freedom. Congratulations again, Jim, and to everyone at Alliance Defending Freedom for the recent victories at the Supreme Court. And thank you for joining us on the show today.
My pleasure.
It's always great to talk with our friends over at Alliance Defending Freedom. And here at Nebraska Family Alliance, we are a part of a national movement to help restore the foundation of our nation, the family. And for more information on how you can partner with NFA to make a difference in our country and in our state, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org and be sure to sign up for our e-network to get up-to-date, timely information on the issues that matter most and be empowered with the information and resources to make a difference. And of course, we also hope that everyone has a great 4th of July celebrating our independence with friends and family. It's such a fun holiday and such an important time to reflect on our nation's history and the freedoms that we enjoy and that so many have fought and died for and made the ultimate sacrifice so that we can live freely in the United States. And so as we close out the show today, I also think that this week, as we do celebrate our independence on the 4th of July, that in light of these major decisions from the Supreme Court this past week that directly impact our First Amendment liberties, we should also take a moment to pause and reflect on the fact that really our free speech rights, our fundamental First Amendment freedom, was preserved by President Trump's latest judicial nominee because we had a 5-4 decision. Freedom was hanging on by a one vote thread. A President Obama or a President Clinton nominee, if they were sitting in Justice Gorsuch's seat, that NIFLA decision would have been 5-4 the other way, and free speech and religious freedom rights would have been crushed in America. Thankfully, that did not happen, but it should serve as an ever-important reminder that elections matter, elections have consequences, and we can never, ever take our freedoms for granted. And that's going to be it for us today. Thanks so much for listening. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you will join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connections.